look at your notes every once in a while, but just close your eyes, because this is how I go through it most of the time. I just open, take another section, and I'm opening myself to the Spirit of God. So if you feel safe, no one can pick your pocket, just look at the first statements here and then close your eyes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless, Barak. Bless, praise, kneel down. Be adored, my Lord. O my soul, this is what I need to do. As I bow down before my holy God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Begin to think at that point, the benefits as you know them from him. Father, first and foremost, thank you for the benefit that I'm your kid, I'm your son. I am a son of the Most High God. You've declared me part of a royal priesthood. You have declared that I am now part of a holy nation. You have set me apart for your own special use. You've given me this great salvation. You've given me this marvelous touch of your grace upon my life. This favor I didn't deserve, but you gave it to me. And with that, you gave me the gift of faith, the trust in the finished work of the Mashiach, the Messiah, your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he accomplished the perfect sacrifice that takes away all my sins. Your benefits for me, Lord, are amazing. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who forgives your sin, your faults, your mischief? Who heals all your diseases? Father, you had me in the hospital twice in the last 3 years. You saw me through both of those experiences. You brought me out whole. And my Lord, you saw me years ago when I went down those stairs and broke my back in two places. And you saw me through that. And you restored my marriage in the midst of all of that. Dear God in heaven, thank you so very much for forgiving all my iniquity, and these my diseases, they're gone. But one day, I know, and I would expect, I will not get out of this life physically alive unless you should decide you're going to make your second advent. You're going to bring about the rapture of the church. But apart from that, there will be some disease that its healing will be as I open my eyes in your heaven and see you face to face, full healing from that disease. Who redeems your life from the pit? How many times, my Lord, have I been depressed, deeply down in my soul, the deepest place I've ever been, in tears over what has happened in my life, And you lifted me up out of this pit. And you set me on a rock, who is your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you redeemed me from that pit. Just as you redeemed me from never having to go to hell, but I will go and be with you in your heaven one day. But now you still reach down and you lift me out of the pit. Better still, when I'm in that pit and refuse to come out, you come down in the pit and you're there with me. You are marvelous, marvelous. who crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. You crowned me with this, Kadesh said, this loyal, loving kindness that only you can give. And those of us who are your kids and been in that place where we are wanting, we have known the warmth of your love, your faithful love during those times. Your mercy is amazing. I deserve so much correction, so much punishment, but you mitigated it on so many occasions. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Who satisfies you with favor, that which is better, that which is prosperity. These things you bring into our lives, Father. And I thank you for that. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in this steadfast, loyal, loving kindness. He will not always chide. He will not always rebib. He will not always make a case, an account to go against me, but he keeps his anger. He'll keep his anger forever, but he won't address it towards me. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For Christ himself has taken all of our sins upon himself. For as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him, have this reverential awe and a sense of fear, and at the same time knowing how loved we are by you. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he, my God, remove our transgressions from us. You remove this pshaw, this punishment, these transgressions from me. How can I fathom as far as the east is from the west? I mean, they're total opposites. As the Father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord, my God, shows compassion to those who fear him, who have this reverential awe of him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. He is our creator. But the steadfast love, this kind love of the Lord is from olam, from everlasting to everlasting, forevermore and always, on those who reverentially have this awe and fear of their Heavenly Father. And his righteousness is to the children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Family, I don't know about you, but when I pray through this passage of Scripture, it is so different than just reading Psalm 103. This is what you can do, and it will come alive for you, and you will meet him possibly in ways that you have never come into the presence of your Heavenly Father before. And you will be moved in spirit and in heart. You may for the first time see the Word of God like jump off the page and be illuminated to your mind and to your heart. This is the focus on our Heavenly Father when we come before him to pray. So the discipline of prayer includes an expectant attitude and a concentration on our part, on our Heavenly Father as we come, because he will meet us. Just as he met you if you really followed me through what we just accomplished. Thirdly, this discipline of prayer will give a desire to see ourselves the way the Holy Spirit does. To see ourselves the way the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is working in you. He's working in me. Now, I won't say that for everyone here. He is working in every one of you who have made the decision to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and that you take up your cross daily and follow him. You've become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that you're a disciple of his if you are one who, I can't do these things perfectly, so understand, I'm not saying I do, but you pursue the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you are in this love of him, you show it through your obedience, through sharing the news about Jesus Christ with the people around you who don't know him, not really, and those who think they know him, but really don't. So we love him with the great commandment. And then there's the great commission. You are not here not to share him. You are here to teach, to give testimony, if you will, from your own life. Even as Melvin was doing, and Francis was doing, and others were doing just yesterday with the company we had on campus. We are to teach. And when they decide to become disciples, then we baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we teach them, the disciples, all the things that he has taught us. This is why we're here. You may be here to be a nurse. You may be here to be a manager in a company. You may be here to be doing all kinds of different jobs. But your primary reason for being here is to serve and to love him and to obey and to share the good news with the people around you. That is why we are here. We're not here for us, contrary to the American dream. We are here for him and him alone. And he blesses us in so many ways as we are here for him. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, let's read this aloud together. Let's read it aloud. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now listen, some of you, you know, you pray for things like patience. My recommendation to you as your shepherd is this: don't. Because you know you're going to get a trial. Because it's there to test you to see, do you have patience? I want to assure you of this if you are born again. I want you to know this with certainty in your heart. I want you to know that as a Christian, this is the fruit of God the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control within you. If you are not sharing it, it's because the flesh is what you're operating in rather than the Spirit, and therefore you're acting sinfully, probably for the most part. As we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that means we're uncovering what is unholy and replacing it with that which is righteous. Because in the passage right before this passage here in Galatians, we have the deeds of the flesh. You can read that on your own. They're nasty. But we have this replacing of our unrighteousness with Christ's righteousness in that day that we chose him to be our Lord and our Savior. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Let's read this aloud together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it also includes our recognizing when we demonstrate that we are to be demonstrating godly character. And the way that we're going to go about that is to remember that even now in the flesh, born again, there are those times we think, we say, we act, we do those things that are sinful. And that breaks our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Just as my stepdad, because he was the primary one in my life, he would say, Ron, you're supposed to be in by midnight with the family car. And I come traipsing in at 1 o'clock with a dent in the family car. Now, he's gone to work because he worked the night shift, and I won't have to deal with this till he gets home and after he's gone to bed and woken up. So it'll be the afternoon of the next day. But I'm feeling anxious. I'm nervous. I broke the deal. There's going to be consequences. He still loves me. I'm still part of the family. I haven't been kicked out. And that's the same way it is with our Heavenly Father. Those of us who have come to faith, we won't lose our salvation. But we have violated our family relationship. We feel badly in the presence, in my case, my stepdad. The way to fix that is I need to go to my stepdad and say, Mom probably told you, but I got in late last night. And you probably noticed there's a new dent in the car. There's no fussing about it. I did it, and I'm sorry, and out of my working at the car wash, I will somehow get the money to repair that. I confessed. Pop, I'll do my level best to be in if you'll let me borrow the car in the future by the time that we agreed. Confession, repentance. I need help in doing the right thing. And this is what we have here for us from our wonderful Savior. He's telling us that if we confess, if we tell him we're sorry, then he will take away this unrighteousness that has separated us from him in the family relationship. I'm still in the family. I'm still saved. But now we can get this right. And now we'll feel comfortable when we go and focus on him in prayer. We'll feel comfortable in going into his presence and anticipating his coming. Not to scold me, not to point out what a jerk I've been, but to anticipate simply with being this, with this marvelous, wonderful, loving, merciful Heavenly Father. So I hope that this is beginning to stir up in all of us a sense of there is a greater sense of priority for prayer, for talking to my Heavenly Father than I may have ever really realized. And this week, with the Spirit's help, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, this is going to be a new week between my spiritual dad and me. I hope that's the case for you. Let's pray. Father, we come into this time of really focusing on you. We know that you've been here all along. you've been listening, and I hope that it's been your spirit that's been helping me, and that you have opened up spiritual ears to hear this morning your message. You've given them spiritual eyes to see what you want them to see here in your message to them, the Word of God, and that they will respond. Those who don't have a rich prayer relationship with you. And those of us that do, Father, may you just, well, continue to build upon it, because to have more of you is just the biggest wow in all the world, all the universe. So, Father, please, please make these points from your word operative, I pray, in our hearts and in our minds, and that we will take steps to put them to work in each of our lives, my Lord. Father, as we look to you in song and offer these musical lyrics that I trust will open our hearts and minds to you, please receive them. Inhabit the praises of your people here this morning. They prayed earlier. I trust that they were truly confessing and repenting so that their spirit can meet your spirit in this time of praise. Father, may we honor you tremendously through these songs, remembering that your Son is Hosanna. He has saved so many of us who are in this room right now. And we are praying he is going to save a like number of people in the days and days ahead. But Father, we also will offer you with our sacrifices. You've given each of us a measure of wealth. And so today, Father, as it comes, again I ask you, as I did a couple weeks ago, if you have a child here today who isn't willing to sacrifice in the giving of all that you've provided them, then might you just whisper that they would hear you rather than me, that they just need to keep it if they aren't going to trust you enough to take care of them. Because you know that we, this church family, has a budget to meet. And if they aren't going to sacrifice like your Son sacrificed and taught us, and he being our role model, then may they just keep their money, because you like a cheerful giver. You like someone who really loves you and isn't afraid that you're going to miss taking care of them. So, Father, receive our gifts, for that's what they are, from those that give today. And they come because it is a sacrifice. And we're happy to do it because of the marvelous example of your Son, Jesus Christ. So it's in his name we pray. Amen.